What are your fondest memories of Kitale? Is that where you go to school? Is that where, what do you just move there alone or do you move there as a family?
Okay. No, we moved, definitely we moved all eight of us.
And, the entire musical ladder.
Yes. And I remember the trips we used to have, and maybe that's why I love traveling, because I've traveled as a child, long distance travels, because we'd be put on a train, the same train that's been revived right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, of course, the Colonia Ford third class.
Mm.
So we'd be huddled in this third class coach. I remember at around that age of 4 or 5 years, you know, my mom would even carry a stove, because the trip would be like 2 days, because the train would come all the way to Nairobi and then we'd pick a bus to now Bunyori at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was, I think because we grew up, everyone was doing that. So maybe I was not exposed to privilege.
Mm.
So I didn't find ourselves as poor as such, because that was the means of transport for most Kenyans, what they could afford. So growing up in Kitale, same thing, you come up as a middle class, maybe lower middle class. And we went to school, to the same school where my mom taught. So there wasn't room for misbehavior. You know, in those days, the cane was frequently used.
Mm-hmm.
By neighbors and parents alike.
Alike, right.
Yeah.
You're a community child.
Yes, community child. Mm. But I think, so in terms of schools, she took us to the best. And that's one thing I really honor her for, despite everything. And I'm trying to do that with my own children, that despite everything, I invest in the education, because that's the legacy. And she kept on telling us, both of them, they kept on telling us, this is the legacy we have. We don't have property as such, so it's education. Plus, of course, she used to threaten us with kiboko if we come with poor grades.
Mm.
So we went from, I noted that we went from schools that were better off to schools that were a bit, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of standards. Like in Mombasa, we're in Loreto Convent, which at that time was creme de la creme. You're being taught by these sisters. You are mixed. There are so many mixed races in going to that school. And then you come to Kitale, and you know, you are going to a public school. And it was quite a distance. So we used to hike lifts. Those days, hiking lifts was... so safe. You just put a thumbs up and
someone
picks you up. So you save your 1 shilling in terms of transport. We were there for, so I went to this school called Milimani Primary for maybe a couple of years. Then she got transferred to a school called Top Station. And Top Station was an interesting school. And I remember it was like a community school. It didn't have doors, it didn't have windows, so it didn't matter which side you were coming into the class or leaving the class from, because they were all gaping holes on the walls. And I remember on Fridays, we were some of the few privileged children who even had shoes. And on Friday afternoons, and I like joking that as people, you know, students in Kilimani Junior were maybe swimming and, you know, those who can do horse riding were doing that. As guys would go home, because we'd go home for lunch. And, you know, the girls would come with jerry cans of water. And the boys would come with samadi. Samadi is cow dung. Yeah, so the Saturday afternoon was spent smearing the floor of the classrooms with the cow dung so that it doesn't have dust. Yeah, so that's the type of school they went to. And... from there, went to Alliance. So I usually tell people it's not the... your background may be, you know, very, very extremely stressful. But I think it's about the attitude. And she ensured that of all her eight children went all the way to university.
So you particularly had good grades that allowed you to...
Was
it a selection? Was Alliance like a selection of the so in grade eight, in class eight, you have this option. So was it your first top selection?
Yes, it was. It was. We were in that time, it was Moy's era,
mm-hmm.
and we had this thing called district focus.
Mm-hmm.
So he had introduced this thing where they'd pick the best students,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily on grades, because I'm sure if I had those grades in Nairobi, I wouldn't have gone to a national school.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that really helped those of us from some of those backgrounds to be exposed to, you know, or rather to get access to national schools. Yeah, but she did ensure that we were always like two units or two pages ahead of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like math, you had to know what the teacher is. Like you had to be two classes ahead. So when you're going to class, you've already learned what the teacher is going
to
learn.
Really good.
It's all good. I don't think it's good, because I think that's drilling. And
the
I
power
feel,
of having a teacher as a parent.
Yeah, I feel she really emphasized on academics. And sometimes I feel maybe if I had a bit of exposure on the arts side, on performance, because I love performing. I love the
like
written word.
Performance.
No, I can't sing to save myself.
Right.
Yeah, but more of a spoken word.
Right.
Or acting. Yeah. I love writing.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why right now I'm doing travel and I've shelved a couple of things that I was doing before because I just felt those are heavy emphasis on academics, especially sciences, and very little on the other ones. But I think it was happening with most parents at that time. There was that notion that you had to get a white collar job.
There were a handful. Yes, it was engineering. It was
exactly.
medicine. It was lawyer. Or pilot, commerce.
Yes,
yeah.
So you'd hardly hear people say, "Oh, you're going to study music.
That
or you're going to study
below you."
Yeah. How is that? How can you make a career out of that? So I'm glad that now those options are actually paying even more than some of these white collar jobs. And that we have within our country, we have, you know, schools, universities that are really
emphasizing
that.
Right. So so you make this transition to Alliance Girls.
Yeah.
The Alliance Girls.
The Alliance Girls. Yeah. The first African girls school in Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember, so, you know, those days. I don't know if you're my age.
Yes, I think.
Around there.
You must have been in Alliance in the 1995,
96. No, I'd left by then. I joined in 1991.
Oh my good. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes, you had left.
But
by
I
then.
Skipped. So I skipped two classes.
In primary school?
Yes, I
okay.
skipped.
No wonder then.
Yeah, I skipped standard one. My mom wanted to retire early. I mean, remember, we were seventh born and then there's an eighth born. So she wanted to clear the queue. And so I skipped class one, but also I'd mentioned that I would go to a school that was maybe in terms of academic strength, not as good as the previous one.
Yeah.
So she'd make us sit exams for both classes, the one who were to join and the one that
the next
were.
Time.
Yeah, and again, remember, we were being drilled at home.
Yeah.
So I skipped class one and escape class six because that's the time that I was transitioning to two schools.
Wow.
Mm.
So why are you complaining that?
No.
It's a good thing.
I would say. So that time I managed to cope.
An early bloomer.
Yeah. But so I finished form four at 16 years.
16, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Then now, that time we had two years to stay at home.
No, let's revisit your high school before you move there.